You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Hello and welcome to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Well, remember that fun Blackhawks victory post-game show we had last night?
That was about 24 hours ago.
Yes. Well, tonight, the exact opposite. As the Blackhawks lose 3-0 on Long Island to the Islanders. I'm Greg Boyson. I am joined by Mario Terabassi, our cohort Jay Zawoski.
He's been fired.
He quit mid-show. He can't stand Islanders games. No, we're just kidding. Jay had a big Zawoski holiday shindig.
Extravaganza.
Which, sitting in a room alone staring at the wall would have been more exciting than watching most
of
his games.
Yeah, so I'm sure he had a great time.
Yeah, he had a much better day than we did having to watch that game, but...
Yeah, where do you even begin? Because they didn't really give us a great jumping off point other than two nights in a row, a little bit of payback, as you put it, some receipts cashed tonight for the Blackhawks. I mean, look, like they looked last night. They took advantage of the Rangers being on night two of a back-to-back. Yeah. Tonight, the Blackhawks were the team. Clearly on night two of a back-to-back. They were just gassed, and you could see it as midway through the second period.
Well, and being on the second of a back-to-back night against a team like the Islanders, they're going to make that even worse because they are a team that makes you work for 60 minutes. They are super structured. They rarely ever get out of their game plan. They make it tough for you to get through the center ice from the opening puck drop to the final whistle. So, when you're playing the Islanders on any night, you got to work hard. But the second, and it showed, the first period was pretty good. They were only outshot 10-8. They actually had a 6-3 advantage in high danger 5-on-5 scoring chances. They played well in that first period.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to show for it except for the Reese Johnson fight with Casey Zizekas, who someone on this panel successfully predicted last night.
That'd be you.
That would be me. Every once in a while, I can sound like I know what I'm talking about. But it was good to see. Last night we saw, you know, Jujhar Khaira got his moment with Jacob Trouba, and then everybody wanted to rip that Pudwack's head off by the end of the night. And, of course, Casey Zizekas, he's the reason.
Basically the reason Arvid Soderblom is here.
Exactly. Arvid Soderblom probably wouldn't be starting tonight if it wasn't for Casey Zizekas and the run he took on Alex Stalock back on, was that November 1st, I believe, was when they were here.
Yeah.
Hasn't played since, out with a concussion. Zizekas was kicked out of that game for that play, so there was no retribution. But Reese Johnson, hats off to him. First shift on the ice, he went out and found Zizekas. That was a heck of a fight, too.
Yeah, those, it was a good one.
And again, credit to the officials for kind of knowing the situation and saying, let it go.
Yeah.
Let these guys get their lumps in. Get it out of their system, and then we'll move on. So it was nice to see Reese Johnson. That was the highlight of the first period. Then the second period. Well, before we get to the second period, our first of two.
That second period.
Just head-scratching replays.
Yeah.
Boris Tkachuk takes a stick to the face. He's bleeding. Obviously, Matt Barzal.
Yeah,
lifts his stick.
Yeets it.
And he gets hit in the face. They give Barzal a 4-minute penalty, but then they review it, which is what they're doing these days, which I'm fine with making sure for the high sticking. But then after a really long period, there it is, after a really long review, they take the penalty off the board because they say Tkachuk hit himself with his own stick, which is very hard to tell on the replay. But even if it was his own stick that hits him, the only reason it's hitting him is because of Barzal's stick knocking it into his face.
Right. We've seen this work in the benefit of the Blackhawks this year, earlier this year, where, you know, I think I can't remember exactly the play, but there has been at least one instance where
Caleb Jones had a penalty taken
off.
That I remember.
Yeah, where a high sticking was taken off because, you know, the player's stick came back and hit himself in the face, causing the high sticking, or might have even been causing some bleeding. But in this case, I mean, the video evidence wasn't great. And look, like, it's one thing if it's just like, you know, in a play, battling for a puck, you're lifting a stick and you know, incidental contact or whatever, or you lift the opponent's stick into their face. In the middle of a play, I get it. The puck was nowhere near those two guys, and Barzal just whips the stick out. And look, like, I'm no NHL rules expert, but I'm fairly certain you can't do that.
Yeah.
Away from a play, just throw someone's stick out of their hands. So, I don't know. I mean, is it so much to be tic-tac on the rule book? I don't know. But, like, the replay in tonight's game was, you know, in a game where the Blackhawks already were at a disadvantage, it did them no favors, because that one took a potential 4-minute power play off the boards. And then another replay in the second period showed us that the NHL has invented time travel.
Yeah. Yep. About midway through the second period, there's a scrum in front of the Hawks' nets. Soderblom appears to make a pad save along the near post. And then they play for 2 minutes and 8 seconds before the next whistle. TV timeout. Islanders asked the refs to go look at it again. And they took over 5 minutes. Now, this is my problem.
Yeah.
The Tkachuk penalty, it took 3-4 minutes for them to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
Took them 5 minutes to decide this goal. If it's not there in 90 seconds, 60 to 90 seconds, it's not there.
Right.
Like, you can't look, like, if you don't see it. And this play, Martin stuffs the puck in, and I have very little doubt that it crossed the goal line. It most likely did, but I've yet to see a camera angle that shows that it actually happened.
Yeah, unless the refs had access to another angle that wasn't used on the broadcast. But yeah, there was really nothing shown on the broadcast that was definitive enough to go, oh yeah, that's definitely a goal.
Yeah.
Like, you're just kind of going off of, you know, oh, on this angle it looks like one, and on this angle the puck's here, and you just, at some point, you have to say, like, okay, here's angle A, angle B, angle C, go through it again, angle A, B, C, does it look definitive? Yes, no. If it's not definitive at that point, then you shouldn't be able to overturn the call. I like replay in sports when it is executed properly. And when we're taking longer than a TV timeout to go through replay, or you're taking, you know, in football, we have these stoppages for like 7, 8, 9 minutes to, you know, see, you know, if a guy stepped out of bounds, or did the ball cross the line, or where's the yardage marker, or what is a catch, what isn't a catch. We have the same problems in hockey: goaltender interference, pucks crossing the line, like, The use of replay is so ineffective that it becomes just bogs down games. And I'm fine with things being reviewable. I would like more things to be reviewable to make sure that the right calls are being made. It's just the execution of that. It's just like, you just cannot trust it.
If you can put a chip in a soccer ball that tells you that it crosses a goal line in soccer, how come you can't do that in hockey?
Well, they tried. And it didn't work for some reason.
Well, because you had hockey people in charge of it.
That's true. That's usually true.
NHL people in charge of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. There must have been another angle. Somebody on my Twitter said the Islanders broadcast showed a different angle that looked like it crossed.
No, conspiracy.
Obviously, that's doctored footage. yeah. Right. That's why they weren't showing it here in Chicago. But, of course, the Chicago broadcast is going to show you the views that make it look like no goal.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I don't know. And then the NHL official Situation Room explanation just says video showed puck cross over the goal line. No, it didn't. Not the ones we saw. I'm going to go and say, but if there was one that shows it, clearly shows it, why did it take 5 minutes to come up? Like, there needs to be a shot clock on the replay.
Yeah.
If you can't come up with a clear answer within 90 seconds, the call on the ice stands.
Yeah, I would say 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
Had they called that a goal and they reviewed it, and they still took forever to even overturn it, I still would have said, hey, after 90 seconds, the call on the ice stands.
Right.
It needs to be done. But replay in all sports is great in theory, but usually sucks in practice.
Right, yeah.
Because there's time.
There's nothing perfected about replay. But, yeah, I mean, that moment in that game then, essentially, so the goal counts. Matt Martin scores that goal. So that counts. And then the 2 minutes and 8 seconds that they had played after it.
The entire arena had to hop in the DeLorean and go 88 miles an hour.
You had to go back. You had to add that time back and anything that happened.
So any stats that happened were erased, which I think is why originally at the end of the second period, the Islanders were credited with 32 shots on goal. But then when we got to the start of the third period, they had 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe like, oh, we forgot to take off two. Like, so it was very, very confusing.
Yeah, I do not envy the statisticians and scorekeepers tonight. I have to go back and go through the replay and be like, okay, we'll take off this shot, take off this, you know.
I hope they got an extra helping of gummy bears or whatever they serve in the Islanders. Probably Swedish fish.
Some Whoppers, Swedish fish.
That was the Martin goal. And then about six minutes later.
Yeah, at that point, the wheels fell off.
Yeah, Zach Parise gets left all by himself in front of the net. Neither Seth Jones or Jack Johnson thought it'd be a good idea to put a body on him, and he's able to easily deflect an Alan Pellick shot past Soderblom. Soderblom had no chance on that. Less than a minute later, a little tic-tac-toe. All three Islanders forwards touch the puck before Brock Nelson gets a one-timer off that looked like it might have nicked the stick of Jake McCabe and changed directions. But, again, Soderblom, not a lot of help on that one.
Yeah,
and that's it. 3-0. Third period was not a whole lot there. As you mentioned, the Hawks were out of gas. And the Islanders just, they don't let off. They're not a team that's a high-pressure offensive team. They're a team that sits back, lets you make mistakes in the neutral zone, and then takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw tonight. Fourth time this season, the Blackhawks have been shut out. This was Semyon Varlamov's 36th career shutout, third against the Blackhawks.
Nice.
I want to say those other two were probably during his time with the Avalanche. He seemed to be a pain in the ass those couple of years he was with Colorado.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's a game where the more talented team was more rested and, you know, expecting anything else as a result tonight out of this Blackhawks team besides, you know, the Islanders kind of dictating everything would have been a surprise. So, you know, it's tough when you get into those situations where and they're going to have to, you know, ramp it up again on Tuesday night against the New Jersey Devils, who are playing some of the best hockey of any team in the league right now. So it's not going to get much easier, even though you have a day off in between. It's tough. It's when you're a less talented team on the road, 3 games in 4 nights, you know, you're going to have situations like this where, you know, in the third period, even when they had brief periods of sustained offense, they just had nothing in the tank to give. Like, it was just, you know, I saw Max Domi late in the game. You know, the Blackhawks are fighting to keep the puck in the offensive zone, and he's just like, his body language is just like he's like lumbering in the offensive zone because they had about a minute and a half of sustained zone time, And it was just like, he, you know, you're chasing the game. You're on night two of back-to-backs. Like, it's just tough. Just a lot of hurdles for this team to get over tonight. And it's not easy to do against an Islanders team that is, like you said, just so structurally sound. And they just kind of squeeze you to death in these games. So, yeah, we ended up with a 3-0 loss. Blackhawks, I mean, for the tank, this is fine.
Yeah.
On a night where the Ducks and the Blue Jackets and the Sharks all lost in regulation, Blackhawks keep up with the Joneses, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously you don't score any goals. You can't harp on too many things. You got to score goals, but
right.
I just wonder, had they got that 4-minute power play after the success they had on a power play last night, would that have made it? Was that the turning point in the game? If the Hawks score first, like they did last night, they get a power play goal. Maybe they score in that first half of that double minor, and then they can come maybe get two goals off of that. It happened last night on that 5-on-3. Maybe they get a goal there, we get a different game, but probably not, because, again, they still would have ran out of gas, but maybe they wouldn't have been playing so hard in a tie game from behind. They could have saved a little energy, but personally, I think that taking off that Boris Tkachuk penalty for the silly rule probably hurt more than the Matt Martin goal, because you still didn't score after that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you give them the 4 minutes of a power play, like, they could capitalize on it. They could play with a lead. And, you know, you saw last night how much playing with a lead led to the Blackhawks looking like a more open and relaxed team, not trying to, you know, have to chase the game. As Luke Richardson always says, like, it's you never want to be chasing the game as often as the Blackhawks do. But yeah, maybe it changes the complexion of the game. It at least gives them some buffer as the team that is, you know, playing on night two of a back-to-back, as the team that is going to run out of gas earlier than the Islanders were going to. Gives them a little bit of buffer to have more of a sustained effort, where if you get out to a little bit of a lead, you know, you're able to play differently, play a style that conserves a little bit of energy, but you don't get that opportunity, and the game plays out as it does. So I just think this is just one of those nights where it's, you know, the talent gap and the scheduling, just a night that it caught up to him. So it's a tough result, but it is something that I think we're all getting used to as the season goes on.
I think we've got some interesting chat going on in our chat about the goaltending situation. That's something we can get into after we wrap up this game. Also, our guy Sam, we need to screenshot the comment about him saying Connor Bedard is going to be a bust. So in 3 years, we can say, Sam, we love you being here every night, but that's a take.
I don't think Connor Bedard is going to be a bust, guys. He had 5 points tonight.
Yeah, like, you know, he said that Adam Fantilli could be a number one center one day, and Fantilli still may have a better career than Connor Bedard, maybe, but that doesn't mean Connor Bedard is going to be a bust.
Hey, maybe they both become superstars.
Yeah, let's get them both.
Yeah, why not? Sure. Let's Sedin the whole thing.
Let's trade for, like, the Ducks. Let's give them a goalie, and they give us their pick, and then, yeah.
Which goalies?
Anyone they want. But we'll get into the goalie situation here, because it didn't sound like Mrazek is super long-term.
No, but
they didn't IR him, but when you're dealing with a goalie who has bad groins with another groin issue, it's not a good thing.
No, never a good thing.
All right, so shall we jump into our three stars? I know it's early, but what the hell else?
Yeah, let's get to the fourth star.
Our fourth star of the game. Let's check out who those three stars were. Let me bring that up here quickly.
Three stars were Varlamov with the shutout.
Yep.
Matt Martin with a goal. And Zach Parise with a goal. Parise, still playing.
Still playing. And this is the second time this year that the Hawks have played the Islanders that I've gone, oh, yeah, Zach Parise is on the Islanders. But in my face, because if he were on the Blackhawks, he'd be tied with Jonathan Toews for the team lead. He's got 8 goals this season. He's playing really well for the Islanders.
There you go.
Good, I mean, that's a team that he doesn't – that he fits well in.
Yeah.
For his
– for where his, he's where at, he what he does.
38 years old, you know, he's a –
He's a great depth veteran option.
Yeah, and he's having a good – see, I've always liked Zach Parise. Yeah, so – and we are going to screenshot it, Sam. We are going to call you out when Connor Bedard scores 40 in his rookie season.
Okay. Yeah, let's get to the four stars. Four stars. Steven.
All right, Mario, we don't have Jay here. I'm sure Jay would have
switching it up.
I'm sure Jay would have picked
Jake McCabe
or one of our normal guys, but we'll give you the honor of going first.
I will go first. I went with Reese Johnson. Much like last night, I went with Jujar Kara for being able to get an opportunity to square up with Captain Chudwack, Jacob Trouba. I go with Reese Johnson tonight. He's able to get his hands on Casey Zizekas. And he was also part of, a bottom six group, a fourth line group that actually played decent tonight. They had stretches where, they were actually creating a little bit of offense, as little as the Blackhawks did create as a team. You were seeing it from the Dickinson line with Kara and Blackwell, the fourth line with Tkachuk and Reese Johnson and Mackenzie Entwistle. At early points in this game, those bottom six forwards were buzzing pretty good, and they were shouldering a lot of the offensive load. Now, if that is the case, things are not going well for this Blackhawks team, even in a season where we're not expecting a lot of things to go well. You don't really want your bottom six, this bottom six, to be driving the offense. So on a night like tonight, Reese Johnson is a guy that stands out for me.
Yeah, he had kudos to him, as we mentioned earlier, for taking on Zizekas and sticking up for his injured goalie. I'm going to go with one of Reese Johnson's linemates, Boris Tkachuk, who's a guy that, we've talked a lot about this year, saying he kind of is very inconsistent and in being noticeable. But that fourth line, since being put together for the last three games, has been the most effective Blackhawks line over these last three games, mm-hmm. The Oilers game, the Rangers game. Now, they're doing it in much less time.
Smaller sample sizes.
But Tkachuk tonight was very noticeable. He had 8 minutes, 59 seconds of ice time. That's the fewest, the lowest ice time on the entire team. But he had one shot on goal, but he had five shot attempts, which was just one behind Connor Murphy and Philip Kurashev, who led the team. They each had 6 shot attempts, but both of them did it in over 19 minutes of ice time. So half the ice time, almost the amount, 5 shot attempts in 9 minutes. He also had 2 hits and a couple block shots as well. So a very effective, limited role for Boris Tkachuk. Listen, this was a game where there not a lot was jumping off the page.
Yeah.
Those numbers, but that fourth line, they were combined 62.5 Corsi 4 in the previous two games. And tonight, they, in 6 minutes and 16 seconds of 5-on-5, they had a 68.7 Corsi 4. 11 shot attempts for just 5 against, and just over, so that's almost 2 shot attempts a minute. On 5-on-5 for the Boris Tkachuk, Mackenzie Entwistle, Reese Johnson line. First game in the last three games that they didn't come up with a goal either. So that fourth line has been playing well, and two of the three of those guys get our nods for the fourth star of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like I said, like when the bottom six, the fourth line is driving the offense, usually things aren't going well. But sometimes, the makeup of this Blackhawks team and the way that, Luke Richardson wants his team to play, a lot of those guys fit that mold. So, granted, now most of them won't be around in the next year or two, but to set up that style, to set up that blueprint for what Richardson wants to do, wants to have players like, it's good to see like guys that fit that mold succeeding, because that shows you like, okay, when you have the guys that are going to be a step up from a Reese Johnson, a step up from a Boris Tkachuk, a step up from Jujar Kara, that they can fit that mold, they can play that role, and they can be more effective than they are now if the blueprint is there. And that's what we talk about with like establishing culture, establishing the character of the team and of the locker room. It all comes down to Kyle Davidson building those rosters as we move forward through the draft, through free agency, through, you know, trades, whatever he does in the next few years to get the team on the competitive track as we go through these losses, as we go through this tank season. But it's good to see that, you know, in this system that Davidson runs, those guys can still have opportunities to be effective, you know, have a little bit of offensive pop, a little bit of offensive opportunity. Mackenzie Entwistle was getting, you know, that fourth line was getting some offensive zone starts, which, right. You know, you're not going to really see that often. So being able to see that is a good thing. It's setting up that blueprint for what Richardson and Davidson are trying to do to, you know, have a fourth line, have a bottom six, be able to jump in a little bit offensively, contribute a little bit more. Hopefully, we're not seeing guys like Mackenzie Entwistle and Jujhar Kara on the power play in a couple of years.
No, that'd be great.
At five on five. That's,
even though they both have scored on the power play recently,
true.
That's not
credit to them. That's true.
Yeah, and the fourth line was 67% at the dot tonight. 6 of 9. Entwistle won 4 of his 6, and Reese Johnson won 2 of his 3. So, you know, not a bad night for them. And you know what else would be not a bad night? Would be some locally grown meat products would make your night a lot better.
Some meaty products would definitely be good tonight. We had the CHGO Bears tailgate earlier today ahead of the Bears and Green Bay football match out at the Field of Soldiers. I did watch the game. I didn't go to the tailgate. It was too cold for my take. But I did watch the game, and up until about midway through the fourth quarter, it was a pretty good game. It was a pretty fun game.
If you say so, I skipped it.
But I do know that we had Green Ridge Farm out at the tailgate. Had a great turnout at the tailgate. Turns out it was a good time. Talked with our Bears crew and some of our Bulls crew who were here when we got here about the tailgate. They said they had a good time. And Green Ridge Farm was providing the delicious, tasty meats. And when I got back to the office, I opened up the refrigerator, which is still stocked from our holiday party. But one of the drawers is exclusively sausages from Green Ridge Farm. And it is definitely the best drawer in that fridge.
Are they cooked?
They are uncooked.
All right,
they are, but they are in the they're still in the packaging. We got a grill out here on the back patio. So
worst case scenario, we got a microwave and paper towels.
That's true. We also have a microwave. However you want to prepare your Green Ridge Farm encased meats, leave that choice up to you. But no matter what, they're going to taste delicious. Green Ridge Farm is a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. They are makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, like we said before. They have been supplying the food for our CHGO Bears tailgates, and it's been great. Perfect for tailgating, happy hour, and school lunches. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours, and they have 16 grams of protein per stick, which makes them a perfect post-workout snack. I'll have to try that sometime. The meat sticks come in flavors like chicken, Black Forest beef, and jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. If you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing. Delicious because they are made from recipes generations in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh and flavorful alternative at snack time. So right now, when you order any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com, if you include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks are going to be free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Again, that's greenridgefarm.com using the promo code CHGO at checkout.
And after you do yourself a favor of buying yourself some delicious meats from Green Ridge Farms, mm-hmm. you can do yourself another favor and hooking yourself up with some awesome sunglasses from our friends at Shady Rays. Shady Rays have never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change the market. And that's exactly what they've done. You do not have to break the bank for sunglasses this holiday season because Shady Rays has you and your eyeballs covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They fit very well inside of a holiday stocking. Just saying. Get your friends and family some Shady Rays for Christmas this year. Best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Did you drop them in a lake? Don't have much time to drop them in the lake. The lakes are all going to be frozen very soon. But or did you drop them off one of the many cliffs here in the Chicagoland area? No matter what happens, they will replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still manage to make quality that I could tell you from being a customer of theirs. They are just as good or even better than any of those expensive brands on the market. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with that because they have over 200,000 five-star reviews on their website. That's a million stars. That's a lot of stars. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. So look cool while doing something that's cool for others. They stand behind their product, and they've told our team that if anyone has a problem, they will throw the profit right out the giant window at the Shady Rays factory, and they will do whatever it takes to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running the deepest deal of the season, and it is the season for deals. Dude. Use the code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's buy one, get one free. Get two pairs of Shady Rays for as low as $54. The more you buy, the more you save. Take care of your entire holiday shopping list at ShadyRays.com. You won't regret it.
And as our friend Hunter lets us know in the chat here, Shady Rays also got the snow goggles.
Yes, they do.
So perfect for
snow goggles.
Perfect for being out there on the slopes, or if you're preparing to be in a championship locker room, those goggles from Shady Rays will come in nice and handy.
There you go. Something else that you won't regret. That's becoming a diehard member at CHGO.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits, man, they just keep rolling in. Head over to All CHGO and become a diehard member because you're already a diehard Blackhawks fan. So just add it on if you haven't already. What do you get for your yearly membership? Well, first of all, you get a free shirt or hat. There are hats coming soon. Of your choice, one per year. So when you renew your membership a year from now, you'll get another free shirt. If you love our shirts at the CHGO Locker, you're going to get 20% off all merch every single time you buy something from the CHGO Locker. It's 20% off. Plus, you're going to get discounts on all of our events, all of our tailgates. We still have a couple left. We've got a really cool stadium takeover for the Bulls on December 16th.
Coming up fast.
Your ticket includes a pregame party over at Crossroads, just down the street on Madison, a free shuttle to and from the Bulls. I'm sorry, the Chicago versus New York professional basketball match over at the United Center. You get a ticket to the game. You get a bus ride to and from. And diehard members get discounts on that. So right there, your free shirt and your discount to our first ever CHGO Bulls takeover pays for the membership itself.
Hard to beat that.
Plus, you get access to our diehard-only Discord server, and you get a cool membership card.
Yeah.
Lots of other things planned. We've already done a virtual Zoom happy hour with our Bears crew. I'm sure we're going to be doing a Hawks one. And don't worry. If you're wondering when are the Blackhawks going to have a takeover at the United Center, hold tight. Patience. There'll be an announcement on that sometime soon.
Yep, so that's coming.
2023 is going to be an amazing year here at CHGO. We want you to get all the benefits for being a diehard. So become a diehard today over at All CHGO.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I would have done it already, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
I got my membership when I signed my contract.
Absolutely.
All right. So
we wanted to talk about Arvid Soderblom a little bit.
Yes. And that will lead into our next tonight. Nice segue into our next paid segment of the show.
Yeah. You know, with the goaltending situation, you mentioned Mrazek. It does look like it's going to be a little bit more than a week. I believe I saw Ben Pope putting that information out there prior to the game. assuming that's coming from Richardson. But, you know, Jackson Staber was brought up from the Ice Hogs. Luckily, they were in the Northeast as well, so not a big trip, not a big to-do to get him back with the team. But it looks like it's going to be Soderblom's net for a while. And, you know, this is a guy that started the season with, you know, the plan of being the number one goalie in Rockford. And with Stalock out, with Mrazek, you know, getting being injured and now injured again, it looks like Soderblom's going to play the majority of this season one way or another in Chicago. And a night like tonight, you know, he came in the third period last night and was able to do enough to fend off the Rangers for 20 minutes. Came in tonight and had a tired team out in front of him, and credit to him for weathering the storm as well as he did. Had to face over 40 shots. The three goals, can't really hang too much on him on those three. He almost made the save on the first one. You know, it had to come down to the tiniest of measurements on the video review to call it an actual goal. But I look at the way he plays, and we've said it before, and you know, I believe it was again Ben Pope talking with Jimmy Waite, Blackhawks goaltending coach, talked about Soderblom kind of giving him some. Seeing some characteristics between him and what Corey Crawford was for this Blackhawks team. And I think, you know, when we talk about the future of this team, like who's going to be around, I know there's a very active chat tonight talking about, you know, what's this roster going to look like in the next few years. I really do think, you know, Arvid Soderblom is going to be part of it. I think even with the results, the win-loss record being what it is for this team and for him, I think what we're seeing out of him at a young age is a guy who can play controlled and can really hold his own in the NHL.
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
I think Jimmy Waite has been watching the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Or
great minds.
Or our eyeballs are working on the same wavelength as his are, because we've made that comparison to Corey Crawford before. Yeah, there are still some things, workable things for Soderblom to get better at, but he's a young goalie, just in his second
year. He's not Corey Crawford now,
right?
But he's showing some tendencies.
Hold on to that stick a little bit, buddy. That was a little worrisome, but you know, he's been really good, and I think the way things are shaping up, as much as I would love him to be in Rockford because the IceHogs could use a goalie because they finally have a really good offense, I don't know if he's going back there this year. I mean, yeah, they say a week on Mrazek.
A week or more.
I don't – this is a goalie that's dealing with groin injuries, a history of groin injuries, his second groin injury this season.
Yeah. Both groins have been injured.
Yeah.
And
a week to me, I don't know where he's coming up with that, but – that sounds very, very optimistic.
Sure.
But they didn't put him on IR, but again, they're probably going to wait till they get home. They got another road game. So Staber, you know, Staber will back up Tuesday night in New Jersey. And the way New Jersey's playing, maybe he gets to play the third period because they've become like the Colorado Avalanche over the last 6 weeks. I watched a couple of their games. They've been on the NHL Network. My God, Jack Hughes is looking every bit like a first overall pick. It's taken him a couple of years, but that kid is a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, not every first overall pick has to be a generational player right away. It'll take some time, but yeah, definitely watching Hughes, he is planted his flag in the NHL and said, you know, I'm here, I'm an elite level player. And it's, you know, the Devils have kind of been on that cusp of like, hey, aren't they supposed to be good? And then they kind of, you know, disappoint, and now it seems like they've got a lot of good pieces in place.
Yeah.
And with the development of Hughes, they're kind of now over that hump, and they're a dangerous team.
They have been the best team in the league. Them and the Bruins have been the best team in the league for the last for this season so far. Yeah. It's kind of my favorite thing about the Devils is, remember early in the year, they started off, lost a couple games in a row. Who was it that said, I'm tired of being on losing teams, or one of their players?
For the Devils?
Said, yes. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was. Was it Jesper Bratt? Or somebody said something along, I'm tired of not making the playoffs. I'm tired of losing. And the fans were chanting, yeah, fire Lindy.
Yeah.
And then like four games later, they started a we're sorry Lindy chant.
Yeah.
And
then you win, 15 games in a row, whatever it was.
So that's going to be a challenge, but I'm sure Soderblom will start. Stauber will back up. And then they're going to get home, and then I think they'll reassess when they get home. If they put Mrazek on IR, if they go out and sign a veteran, that tells you that week.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Alex Stalock is coming.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. He skated and then was getting in the practice. There was one point on one of the morning skates, he and Arvid were taking half the shots in the backup net. And then all of a sudden, Alex Stalock wasn't at practice anymore. He was just skating beforehand again. So,
yeah,
you know, he didn't want – Luke Richardson didn't want to say he was suffering a setback, but they were just saying he wasn't feeling as comfortable as he was, so they're pulling him back. They're not rushing him back, not with a concussion.
Yeah, concussions are – each one of them is unique to try and come back from. And as we've learned through, you know, scientific research and everything, you don't actually – quote unquote, come back from a concussion. Each one of them takes a little bit off of you. So, you know, Stalock's, hopefully he's able to get to a point where he feels comfortable again and is able to come back for his own, you know, for his own career to be able to, you know, continue playing. Cause I'm sure he, you know, the way he was playing earlier this year, as wild as it was at times, he was actually being effective.
He was working.
You know, we talked about, Alex Stalock, he was going to be the one that you put in against Arizona because you're trying to, you know, get some tank season wins by having him, play against the Coyotes. But he actually was at times more effective than Mrazek early on this season. So when Cizikas, you know, took him out earlier this month, it was like, damn, like one of the bright spots early on in the year was taken out from the Blackhawks roster. So yeah, now with him, his return being still kind of up in the air, Mrazek now two injured groins. And when you have a goaltender who is on two, you know, one previously injured, one currently injured, he's going to have to recover from that. Both of your groins having to come back and recover from injury as a goaltender is like, probably the worst injury you could have to try and come back from physically. So, you know, it's really not certain that when he comes back, he'll be able to stay healthy. So I assume that, you know, unless Stalock and Mrazek return and those timelines overlap one another, I assume Arvid Soderblom's here until further notice, and that might end up be the whole season.
He might not be back in Rockford at all this year. If so, it's going to be towards the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah,
and I know there's some worry here in the chat about, you know, does he revert like Kevin Lankinen did? Because you got to remember that weird COVID year. All of a sudden, Kevin Lankinen was like, "Hey, we found our goalie of the future," and then last year he was bad, but. Got to remember, though, he became the starter in 2020-21 and then was reverted to backup gold spot from, you know, because you brought in Marc-Andre Fleury.
Right.
And then
derailed him.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, you know, it's tough for a young player, a young goalie to stay sharp when he's playing one out of every four games, one out of every five games. And then he had a hand injury last year that I don't think he ever recovered from. We talked about that a lot last year on our post-game shows, that glove hand never really recovered.
Never seemed right.
And Lankinen had a 48-save shutout against these Islanders last time out.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm a big fan of Kevin Lankinen, a great kid. I'm glad he's got a shot. He's doing well as UC Saros backup. Good for him. I wish it was for any other team than the Predators, but, you know, good success. I'm not worried about that with Arvid because Arvid's going to be the starter for a while here. Like, or at least every other game.
Yeah.
Because when Mrazek was healthy, was still... So if Stalock or Mrazek comes back in the next week or two, he'll still go every other. And that's different from the Lankinen situation. And, you know, Lankinen, you know, I think Arvid is a little more mentally tough than Lankinen was last year. Mm. Where when Lankinen gave up a softy, it seemed to really derail. Like, he would... Soon as Lankinen gave up that first one in some of those starts last year, it got off the rails pretty quick.
Yeah.
Where Arvid seems to, like, bounce, you know, back pretty quickly. That's one of the reasons we've been comparing him to Corey Crawford, where he doesn't seem to get frazzled when he gives up a goal. Mm-hmm. That he'll bounce back and make a big save right after that. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I would think right now, if I had to guess, Arvid Soderblom is probably the opening night starter next year.
Yeah.
I know Mrazek's still under contract,
but
he's not reliable. You can't depend on him. And I think Arvid has earned the right at this point to be the number one guy next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be Arvid 1A, Mrazek 1B next year.
Yeah, I see no problems with that. I think, you know, it's... We've talked about it a little bit in the last few weeks, where next season is likely going to look a little bit like this season, where maybe you're not necessarily like full on tanking, but you're really not going to have a roster in theory that's going to be competing for anything higher than maybe at one point in the season sniffing a playoff race, but you're not really going to see, you know, a team that's going to compete for a wild card or compete in the division. It's going to be another team that is drafting in the lottery. So if that's the case, then again, you're not really looking to bring anybody new in. I don't know what they end up doing with Mrazek. If he does have injury issues, maybe it's an LTIR situation. Or if, you know, if he's healthy enough, he's on, like you said, next year was the last year of his current deal. Just let him play it out. See if he figures it out. Yeah, you could buy him out.
Salary cap is not an issue for this team right now.
Yeah, they have to spend like $60 million to get to the floor as it stands right now for next season.
If you
got to
buy out his contract and then sign one of your, you know, journeyman backup, give Yaroslav Halak role here or whoever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to take a, you know, $1 million salary cap hit for the next two seasons to buy out Peter Mrazek, why the hell not?
Yeah, it's not going to derail this team financially or anything like that.
They have options, and now Arvid is becoming a solid NHL starter, not a star, not an elite goalie by any chance, but he's laying the foundation. He's been very dependable. That gives you a stopgap, if you even want to call that, until Drew Comesso is ready. Because that's the guy that they are – that's their top goaltending prospect, though. Arvid has got something to say about that, but the way he's playing. But all of a sudden you went from, like, two seasons ago to being like, well, the goalie cupboard is completely bare.
Mm-hmm.
To now all of a sudden you've got Arvid who's looking like he could be – a solid NHL starter.
Yeah.
And you got your top prospect, Drew Comesso, who hasn't even become pro yet, who you're high on. So maybe 2-3 years from now, you got yourself a really solid crease, or you've got your goalie of the future and a very good asset in a young goaltender that would look very good on a trade market, per se. So you're in a good situation. You still probably could use another goalie or two in the system. You can never have too many, as this year is proving.
Right.
And I said on Twitter jokingly that it took Jackson Stauber some stones to wear Ed Belfour's number 30, and some people kind of were clapping back at me like I was being serious. Folks, if you follow me on Twitter and you're unsure, just go with I'm being sarcastic, and you'll be right more times than you're wrong. Like, he can wear whatever number he wants. But Ed Belfour is my favorite Blackhawks goalie of all time, so I cringe when I see someone else wear it. But you can wear it. It's not retired.
Right. Technically not retired. Yeah, color me shocked that sarcasm didn't translate on Twitter.
I know. I keep forgetting to use the Twitter font. I'm not paying extra for the Twitter sarcasm font. Sorry, Elon. You're not getting my money.
Yeah, I mean, don't count out Dominic Bassi, too. I mean, he's been, you know, out of sight, out of mind for most Blackhawks fans when it comes to the goaltending prospects, as, you know, the focus has been on Comezzo and his development over the last few seasons. But Dominic Bassi has really, you know, come into his own in his third NCAA season this year with St. Cloud State. He's playing as one of the best goaltenders in college hockey right now. So he's, you know, he could be something, someone to keep an eye on.
He's not signed yet, right?
No, he is not.
Nope. And this is his junior year?
This is his third year. He may, I'm sure he'll play a fourth year. And
so they still have one more year to decide if they want to sign him. Maybe they sign him this year just to make sure he doesn't skip time.
I mean, Stauber was a guy that, you know, left college a little bit early, but as some, you know, prospect analysts that we've talked to, or that I was able to talk to about him when he was signed, he said, yeah, I think he might have benefited from an extra year in college, but good to see that, you know, he got an opportunity. And you know, he's played decent in Rockford when he's been able to be healthy, and, you know, see what he does if he gets a shot to play an NHL game here. But yeah, I mean, as far as the goaltending prospects, Soderblom is definitely establishing himself. I look at, if he was playing like this in front of a team that was competent, like, his numbers would be so much better. Yeah. Because, you know, he puts in solid efforts pretty much every start that he gets. It's just, he's not really getting a lot of extra help.
He's got to basically give up one or fewer goals to have a shot at winning.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen a lot in the NHL. But this is the perfect segue to announce our DraftKings King of the Game. And guess what? It's Arvid Soderblom. 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 Shocking, Soderblom. Shocking. Soderblom. There he is. He seems to King be Arvid. He seems to be the top guy in this segment this year when he plays 37 saves on 40 shots. That's a 92.5 save percentage. That's pretty good last time I looked in the old record book.
That usually gets
usually
the job
done. You save 92.5 of the shots, you're usually going to win more than you lose. Mm-hmm. But when you're on a team that can't play 5-on-5 hockey very well or score many goals, you're going to be on the short end of the stick more times than not. But you cannot pin this loss on our guy, Arvid. So he gets the crown once again, mm-hmm. presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And while Arvid is making all the saves in the crease, ComEd wants to help you make saves at home when it comes to saving money.
Nicely done.
Yes, thank you. The ComEd of Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve to save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. I need some industrial processes in my life. Hey. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects they could start working on immediately.
Immediately.
Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today for energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment. Go to comed.com/poweringbiz, B-I-Z. Ready to sign up for a facility assessment? Then call ComEd at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours, which is not now, to speak to a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Or you can email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online at their website, comed.com/facility assessment.
And if you're saving money on your energy bills, you can keep some of that money and spend it this holiday season on getting the perfect gift for the golf aficionado in your family or in your friends group. And by doing so, you can check out Pins and Aces and their apparel and hats and golf bags and beer sleeves, all at pinsandaces.com. Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel partner of CHGO and the presenting sponsor of the Big Drive Energy Golf Podcast on the All City Network. They make amazing polos, hats, customizable golf bags, and the beer sleeve. That's right, the innovative product that allows you to store up to 7 beers in your golf bag and keep them cold for the entire round. Perfect for the golf fan that is going to head to warmer weather and continue the golf throughout the winter season. That beer sleeve is going to keep you nice and cool and hydrated, or dehydrated. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the science of it. But if you go to pinsandaces.com and use the promo code CHGO, you're going to get 15% off of your first order, and you're going to get free shipping on that order. So perfect for this time of the year at the holiday season when you're probably buying a lot of gifts that need shipping. Pins and Aces is going to help you out with some free shipping on your first order. Again, that is using the promo code CHGO at pinsandaces.com.
And hockey fans, that's you guys. Light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 on a pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 of free bets if they do. That seems like a really good deal. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. I love the same game parlays. That's my favorite of the options. I like to use the whoever the Blackhawks are playing to score first. Didn't hit last night, but it hit again tonight. Still hitting at like an 80% clip this season. So bet the opponent to score first and parlay it maybe with that team's best player to get over a point. You're going to win more times than you lose. Same game parlays combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code CHGO. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 freaking dollars in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for those details. Man, if you haven't done that yet, sign up, use that promo code. I would bet $5 on the New Jersey Devils to beat the Blackhawks on Tuesday, and you're getting $150 in free bets.
Yeah.
I like those odds.
I want to believe in the Blackhawks. I really do, but not against the Devils.
Yeah.
And not the way that they're playing right now. Or probably will for the entire season.
I mean, at 80%, just let it ride, man.
Like, just because they did it against the Rangers doesn't mean the trend is bucked. Like,
no,
that is
proved it tonight.
That is likely going to continue.
The refs were in on it. They had to go make up a goal to make sure that they hit their same game parlay.
Invent time travel to make sure that that bet hit. Yeah, I mean it's Tuesday will be fun.
Tuesday will be fun. I remember Roy's Just Rage. A couple times we're asking about scouts. It's kind of hard to navigate the scouts because the Blackhawks games are like always a well-scouted game because I think, you know, just there's the location.
There's a few teams that
they have permanent guys here.
Yeah.
They're like the same guys that cover the AHL too. I know from being on the AHL beat for the last few seasons in Rockford, Milwaukee, and the Wolves, a lot of those guys will do the AHL games on the weekend, and then whoever the Blackhawks play during the week, they'll pop up there too. I try to check the scouting roster every game. Sometimes I forget, but I'm sure that's going to get more and more crowded as the season goes on.
Yeah.
You know, the Hawks have a lot of guys that are going to be tradable assets. Some of them have a say, others don't. So we'll keep an eye on that for you.
I think at least off the top of my head, Nashville, St. Louis, and I believe San Jose, I feel like always have a scout.
Yeah,
the
Dirk Graham is the Sharks guy. He's there a lot. You know, St. Louis, Nashville, I think they have a lot of guys there too just because they're a lot of divisional games.
Divisional games, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of guys there. Tampa will have their guy here a lot too. So yeah, it fluctuates, but I'll make a conscious effort to start keeping track of who's there starting Friday when they return home against the Jets. But I think that's going to really put the bow on tonight's shorthanded edition of the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. We're off tomorrow.
Appreciate everybody in the chat. Lively chat today.
Very lively chat. Seeing some new names, Alan and some of our, we have a Paul been chirping in, and of course our regulars, Nate. Brendan is there.
Region Rev.
Sam Baker. Sam. Not the most popular opinions, but you know what? You're here every night, and we appreciate you here. Mm-hmm. You be you, dude. You give us whatever takes you have.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a feeling you're the type of person that will own it if proven wrong.
When proven wrong.
And if
wrong.
Not, we have the receipts.
yes.
We are off tomorrow. No off show tomorrow. We'll be back Tuesday, full staffed, three of us for post-game. Wednesday, Thursday, we'll have off-day shows at 2:30. Hoping Wednesday maybe get some prospect World Junior preview talk. We're going to try and get a guest for that show.
Yeah, I believe we are expecting at least Canada's camp roster tomorrow should be announced. Some Blackhawks prospects will definitely be on that list.
Our chat is making good
USA
point,
might.
We did forget the tank standings.
Tank standings. Hey.
All right. See, this is why
there we
are.
Can't.
This is why the chat is just as important as us, because we got so excited about Arvid Soderblom talk.
Good job.
There we go. All chat. Right. Skokes and no worries. Here are the tank standings just for you guys. All right, there we go. The Anaheim Ducks, they are still god-awful. 15 points, another loss tonight. Get that team a goaltender, for Christ's sake.
We're number two.
But we're right there, 18 points, tied with Columbus and Arizona, but we've got the worst point percentage, so the tiebreaker, I believe that is how that works out. 18 points in 24 games.
No, Anaheim's point percentage is worse.
Well, they're
Well, out of those teams three with 18 teams, points, yes.
Blackhawks, Blue Jackets, Arizona, and then there's the Sharks at 19. We need to get Anaheim a goalie, because I still don't think they're going to finish with the worst. As bad as they've been, I still don't think they're going to finish with the worst record, because they have too many good young players that are going to get better as the season rolls on.
You'd think.
If they ever get some solid goaltending, average goaltending, they're going to steal some points. But we'll see how that goes. Long way to go. So there's those tank standings. Thanks for the reminder, guys. So again, no show tomorrow. Post game Tuesday, 2:30 on Wednesday and Thursday. Hopefully going to have some World Junior prospect talk on Wednesday. So if you guys are into that, make sure to tune in. Friday post game.
Should definitely be into that.
Yes, Friday post game. And then we get an actual real weekend next weekend with no games on Saturday or Sunday, no shows over the weekend. So we will see you guys back here Tuesday night for post game, right around the same time. Jay will be back. Thanks for everybody for listening. Make sure you're smashing that like button on your way out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Subscribe to us. Wherever you're getting the audio versions, make sure you're subscribing. 5 stars reviews on Apple Podcasts would
follow
be
us
awesome
on Twitter.
Too. There's the Twitters.
Follow
I'm
us
at
on
Greg
Instagram.
Boyson. He's at Mario underscore Terabasi.
Like us on Facebook.
All that stuff. If you're on a page,
hit us up
where
on
CHGO
LinkedIn.
was included, like it, subscribe it, follow it, whatever you do.
Snapchat.
Yes.
TikTok.
Is MySpace still a thing?
MySpace.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Mastodon. Or whatever that was called.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go on the
all of them.
Yeah, whatever it was. All right. That's our sign to get the hell out of here. Thank you guys for watching. We will catch you guys Tuesday night.
Postmates.